Welcome to Positively Psychic. Positively Psychic. 2 hours of fascinating interviews and call-ins with your host, the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. Positively Psychic. During the show, Mark will invite you to call in to speak with him and his guests. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychic. Join the online chat to share thoughts and experiences with like-minded souls at www.para-x.com. Positively Psychic. Listen in now as the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson, interviews leading experts in the paranormal field, takes your calls, and answers your questions on Positively Psychic.
Hello and welcome to Positively Psychic. I'm your psychic medium host, Mark Christopher Nelson, and I'm here with my psychic spouse.
Hello and good evening, everyone.
Hey, guys. Well, tonight we have a very special show. We're going to have not one but two guests, and it's a great twofer. They're actually the author. I'm looking at two of their brand new books, and they're both very exciting people. We're going to start out with one, and then we're going to bring in the other shortly. So without further ado, why don't we bring on one of my favorite young adult authors, Marley Gibson.
Okay.
And we'll bring Marley on momentarily. Hello, Marley. And we'll have her right on. Hi, Marley.
I'm here.
Hey, Marley, we're going to bring Patrick on momentarily, but I wanted to start out with you.
Okay. Hey,
thank you so much for joining us. It was, by the way, everyone, the last time we saw Marley and our other guest, Patrick Burns, was on the Queen Mary. I think it was back in September.
That's right. It was great. A great event.
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of fun. We actually did a little bit of Marley and I had a chance to slip away and try to figure out what was going on with one of the spirits actually in the engine room of the Queen Mary, which was kind of a fun thing to figure out. But
that was kind of crazy.
It was. I really felt
in a
like
cool
it,
way.
And it was giving us information we hadn't had before. But
That's right.
The reason why we have Marley on tonight is because she has a brand new book out, or actually two of them. The first one is Ghost Hunter. If you're familiar with her first book of the Ghost Huntress series, you're going to love the second one, book two, Ghost Huntress: The Guidance. And I just got to remind myself, now this isn't you on the cover, but it could have been maybe when you were not that long ago.
I wish. No, that's a British model that they did a photo shoot with, and she's going to be on all the covers.
Well, lucky her. She's
yeah.
And I have to tell you, we were talking, by the way, there's a number of things that are really good about this whole series so far, is the fact that you have brought so much reality to this.
And, oh, thank you.
What's very cool about it is that, I mean, you know, so often you read books and you realize, oh, they got this wrong, they've got that wrong, they've got this wrong. But when I read your books, I mean, clearly this is a book for young adults, but it's also a book written with an insider's understanding of what it really means to discover that you have an interest in developing your psychic ability, and then what it means to go out and find and meet ghosts.
Well, that's huge coming from you, someone who has had their psychic awakening. So thank you for that.
Well, it's funny. I have to tell you, it's she has one of the characters in the books. Is it Lauren Woods?
Oh, Lorraine. Lorraine Wood.
Yes, Lorraine Wood. She reminds me of the person that helped me start my exploring my psychic ability. Barbara was there from the very beginning when I was figuring all of this out. But it was this. We used to live in a small town in Ohio, and there was this little metaphysical bookstore in the old part of town. Stop me if this sounds familiar.
Uh-uh.
And it was run by a very smart lady who had her own psychic abilities and was kind of just a real great person to say, okay, yeah, you're not crazy, you have ability. And
no, that's cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was a really good thing. So,
well, the character of Lorraine Woods is actually based on my friend Maureen Wood, who has been mentoring me along through my research. And one of the things that I wanted to do in the books, Kendall, my heroine, is going through her awakening, and I wanted to do something for Maureen that she didn't have growing up. She didn't have anybody to go to when she was growing up and going through her awakening, and I wanted to make it realistic to people who are going through their awakening, but I wanted her to have a mentor who was there for her and who had been through the same thing. So a lot of that is based on Maureen's own experiences as a teen.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, you have so much great experience that it seems like for all of the adventures that she's going through, and again, I love how you start the book with trying to find a body. I have to admit, I've... by the way, and let me make sure everyone has the title of the book. It's Book 2, The Ghost Huntress. It is out now, correct?
It is out. It came out September 6th, I believe.
My birthday.
Aw, happy late birthday.
Well, you didn't have to go and write a book for me, but I'll accept it.
Awesome.
Well, let's talk about why don't we bring Patrick in? We're going to bring Patrick in, and then I want to talk a little bit about the progress that your character is making and where perhaps you see her going.
Okay.
We're going to put you on hold for a sec, and then we're going to go grab Patrick.
I'm going to try and do the conference right now.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Calling Patrick.
Oh, we're calling Patrick now. Hello, Patrick. Let's see. We just talked to him a little while ago.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, Patrick.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air with Mark, Barbara, and a lady you know very well who writes these books called The Ghost Huntress.
Hi, sweetie.
No idea who it is.
I'm sure glad that you were laughing, and I'm glad that she's laughing with you. It could have gone south real quick.
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
It could have.
Well, I'm very, Barb and I are thrilled to have you both on the show.
Yes.
And we have both of, we have the book that you collaborated with Patrick on. One is The Other Side by Marla Gibson, Patrick Burns, and Dave Schrader, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. And then we have, of course, Marley's book that we were just talking about. Well, Marley, how was let's start out with, we were talking about The Ghost Huntress, and you're investigating with Patrick. Did you pick up some of the things that ended up filtering into the book?
Well, I have to say, I had sold the first three books in the series before I ever met Patrick, and the funny thing is I have my heroine, who is from Chicago, moving to Georgia, going through her psychic awakening, and not that Patrick went through a psychic awakening, but Patrick is from Chicago, and he moved to Atlanta, or moved to Georgia, and we both thought that was kind of interesting that I had written that even before I met him.
I'm sure that doesn't imply a psychic, connection at all.
I didn't really have a awakening at all, but I did have my paranormal investigator awakening, if you will. I became a ghost hunter when I moved to Georgia, so yeah, there are some very, very interesting parallels between Kendall, the main character in her books, and in my own life story.
Well, I've met you both. In case anyone's wondering, Patrick is not a young, pretty English model, so please don't anyone have... That's a different thing altogether.
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny. The two of you are...
Uh-oh. Are we losing you?
Patrick, are you there?
That's where the similarities between us end.
That's very, very good. the two of you are actually going to help nurture a whole generation of ghost hunters with the both of these books.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
You could end up being like the aunt and uncle of a whole generation of paranormal investigators.
We're the new Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Well,
looking for, but that worked perfectly. Perfect analogy.
Well, since we have Patrick on, and I don't know how long we'll be able to keep him on, let's shift gears for a minute and talk a little bit about The Other Side. So, how did you guys come to collaborate on this?
I'll jump in first. Oh.
Okay. No, just go for it.
But he wanted to talk to you. You go, Patrick.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Marlene and I met at a Darkness Radio event that was held at the Stanley Hotel about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. And introduced yourself. He's already signed on to be a staff member at my convention, Ghost Doc, in Savannah, Georgia that year. And we didn't even know each other. And walked into the Stanley Hotel, and Marley walks up to me and says, "Hi, I'm on your staff for your convention," and laughed. And we chatted for a few minutes, and she told me that she had a book series coming out about teenage ghost hunters, a fictional series. And I think the next day when I saw her, I said, "You know, if you'd like somebody to write the foreword for your book, I'd be more than happy to." And she was just, her eyes got really wide. And she's like, "Wow, you do that for me?" I'm like, "Well, yeah. You know, I can easily flip pages and put something together for it." And she's like, "I love that." And I said, "Well, just stay in touch with me and tell me when you need it by." And in true Patrick Burns fashion, I think I waited until the very last minute that she needed it.
Absolutely. It was the editor saying, "All right, we're ripping these three pages out if we don't get this from him."
Finally got to the floor, and we struck up a friendship. And I think it was later on that summer, she happened to be passing through the Atlanta airport, and I was, as fate would have it, I was at the airport picking up Dave Schrader to take to the Dragon Con convention in Atlanta. And Marley said, "Well, I have like a 3 or 4 hour layover. Why don't you guys come and hang out with me and have a couple of drinks?" And we did. And we sat there, I think, at a pool of hands, and Marley threw this at us. She said, "You know, my publishers are wanting to do a nonfiction companion to my series. And what we were thinking was a how-to guide for budding ghost hunters, for teenage ghost hunters." And Dave and I both thought it was a good idea, and we signed on right then and there. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Voila.
Well, just that simple. Just a couple of drinks. I'm going to go to a Houlihan's as soon as I can. I've already got a significant other. I'm very lucky. But we'll see. Well, you know what? The next time you guys are out this way, and by the way, for all that don't know, they are both joining us from different parts of the country. So we're thank God for technology. We're able to reach out and go from Virginia up to Massachusetts and out to California. So you have a bi-coastal show tonight.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see. So one thing I can tell, I mean, clearly because of everybody involved, this is a book that's not based on hype, but based on a lot of good practical information and the latest technology. And so how's the buzz been on this? I have to feel it's good. I mean, I love the title. It's eye-catching, and it's written real well for the right audience. And the three of you guys have got more practical and terrific experience. I mean, it's a great book. Anybody who is hoping their kids or wondering if their kids want to get involved, I would highly recommend this book. Like I said, it's written well. It's comes from a very good place of proven knowledge and experience. And so hats off to all three of you. By the way, Dave Schrader, he hopefully will be on the show sometime in the near future too. But and shout out to Don Shai, who's someone we all know. But anyway, so
woohoo!
Hey, Don. Well, so how long? So which book came first? I'm only on the Ghost Huntress book 2, and we've got. Is there going to be a follow up to the other side? Do you guys think?
Not yet, but we do have an option for another book with our publisher. Should we decide to do that? The first book, the sequence of the books is Ghost Huntress The Awakening came out in May, Ghost Huntress The Guidance came out in September, and then about a week after The Guidance came out, The Other Side came out. And the third book, The Reason, will be out in May of 2010, and as soon I would say The Awakening was only out a couple of months, and my editor offered me an additional 2-book deal to write books 4 and 5. So
that came up in our reading too, I believe. So I'll also mention that. But I would say that, you know, this feels very much. It reminds me of the old Nancy Drew series. Only
thank you.
And I know it's I'm dating myself.
No,
and Buffy.
No, people are calling it Nancy Drew meets Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're the first person to make that that analogy or that comparison. So I've heard at least 10 other people compare it to Nancy Drew as well.
Yeah, Marley, I could see this turning into some kind of a series, like a film series, or, you know, like Harry Potter, or TV series.
From your lips to God's ears.
Well, you know, I can do one better than that. I've got we had mentioned off the air, I've got a friend named Mary who's produced a movie, and she's my manager, and I've already told her about this. So if any book ever would make a great TV series, this would be it. And I really do recommend everybody it's written in a very respectful way. I think that the role models are real clear there, but these are kids with some real problems, and like teen problems. So I know you don't have a teen, but it sure feels like you've had a teen, or you've had some moments etched in your memory.
I think, is this kind of autobiographical, Marley?
No. It's not. I've had a lot of people ask me that before. It's really not. Although I will, you know, there are elements of my life in it, because I was born in the North and I grew up in the South. So I know what it's like to be fish out of water. So I can identify with Kendall in that way. There are a lot of people ask me if I write about my life, and I don't. But then I do write about things that I think are funny or interesting, or that I think will fit into a conversation in a book. Patrick and I have a little difference of opinion on GPS, and we had a little argument about GPS in the car one day, and pretty much went straight into book 3, and I read it, and it was really hilarious the way the characters were interacting. Because in a way that Kendall was morphing into me, and her best friend Celia was kind of morphing into Patrick.
Well, I absolutely believe. Since I don't know how long we'll be able to keep Patrick, so we'll come back, and I want to talk a lot more about the Ghost Huntress. But when you guys were riding the other side, did you actually do any investigations to kind of bring in like a spur of the moment experience, or is this written pretty strictly on? What I'm looking to find out is, were there any surprises that you guys ran into in writing this book?
Well, the only real investigation per se that we did while writing the book, the three of us got together in Sauk Center, Minnesota, and we went to a haunted hotel there called the Palmer House, and the owners are very good friends of Dave Schrader's. He's had a couple of events there, and it is an actively, I hate to use the H word, it is an active hotel. There is what appears to be paranormal activity that does occur there. And that's what we do. We had about a 3 or 4 day book writing brainstorming session where the three of us just sat there on our laptops in the lobby of the hotel, or actually in the lounge of the hotel, and just sat there writing back in, I think it was back in January. And we also did, to coincide with that, Dave invited about 15 or so teens, I think from a local college, to come out and conduct an investigation one night with us, which they did. Dave kind of gave them his paranormal boot camp speech, where he talked about the various pieces of equipment that we work with, the do's and don'ts. And then they came with us, and we led them on a ghost hunt around the Palmer House Hotel. But other than that was pretty much the only scheduled investigation we had writing the book. Everything else pretty much came from our personal experiences. We had a lot of difficulty when it came time to write the bibliography and credits, because Dave and I looked at each other and it was like, yeesh, you know, where do we start? You know, this is what we know, what we, our quote-unquote collective wisdom comes from, you know, just years and years of reading books and watching TV shows, and we just sort of, you know, piecemealed our collective experiences together, and we really didn't have a singular point that we could start at to say, you know, this came from here, this came from there. In instances where we borrowed a direct quote, of course we did credit the source, but we just sort of tried to have a special thanks section at the beginning of the book where we thanked everybody down the line that came to mind that was an inspiration in one way or another to us over the years.
Well, and the Palmer House is a hotel in Chicago, right?
Oh, no, Minnesota, I think.
Salt Minnesota? Center, Minnesota, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Soda.
Well, one thing, you guys start out even with a little bit of history of ghost hunting. You're talking about Dr. Hans Holzer and anything that, I remember reading his books when they came out, or at least, I don't know, when I became aware of them when I was a kid. That was kind of my first exposure to it. And the books were good, but how good was he at getting all... What did you learn anything in particular about Dr. Holzer that may have surprised you?
Well, I actually had the honor of interviewing Dr. Holzer twice in his home, about 3 years ago and again 2 years ago in December. I conducted two interviews that I videotaped with Dr. Holzer, and while I was chatting with him in my first interview, he came to tell us in the interview about where the phrase "the other side" came from. He's the first paranormal investigator or paranormalist, if you will, to popularize that phrase talking about the other life, the afterlife, referred to it as the other side. And he said when we came up with that, he said we thought it was brilliant. We could do it the other side of this, the other side of that, the other side of life. And that's where the title of the book was borrowed from. A lot of people thought that the title came because Cartoon Network had a teenage ghost hunting show on this past summer called The Other Siders. And a lot of people mistakenly thought that we were borrowing the title from that TV show for our book, when in actuality, we had already decided on this name for the book as a tribute to Dr. Holzer only a couple of weeks after he had passed. And then we found out, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after we had settled on the title of the book, that this new TV show was coming out geared towards a teenage audience called The Other Siders on Cartoon Network. And we were like, wow, talk about wild serendipity. It just happened to be that way. But we did thank and credit Dr. Holzer in the beginning of the book as being the source of the title. And I did get the permission and the blessings of his daughter, Alexandria, to use that after he had passed away, to actually use that quote. So, it was kind of a nice little tip of the hat to one of the legends in our field.
Well, I just remember reading, I've read just about everything from Atlantis to Ghost to you name it from him. And so you're very fortunate to have had a chance to speak with him.
Yeah, it was really surreal. There are very few people in the paranormal field that I truly idolize. Troy Taylor would be one, and the other would be Dr. Hans Holzer. I'm very good friends now with Troy Taylor, and I've had the pleasure of, for 2 years now, headlining his Funded America conference that he does it every June, and that's just a dream come true. You know, what one of the people that you truly idolize in your field, and you come in and headline his event. It's just a just an amazing honor. But Dr. Holzer was also right up there as well. I mean, of course, I knew about Dr. Holzer long before I knew who Troy Taylor was, because if we roll the clock back, I would go back to the 1970s.
There he goes. Well, I thought we'd get him in, Marley. And Barb, do you want to try calling him back again? We'll see if we can.
Tell him to pull off the road.
He's driving. Let's see if we get him again. Well, I wanted to pick your. I mean, this was going to be your night, but I wanted to. I thought, oh well, if we can get.
No, it's all wrapped together. It's all good. So, you know, like he was saying, I mean, the other side is meant to be a companion to the Ghost Hunters series, and I've had kids say to me, you know, this is really great. I've gotten a lot from your books, but this is really great because this is a guide that I can show to my parents and say, okay, this is what I want to do.
Well, I think it's really good, too, that you show, say, the parent, your Kendalls, who is the lead in this, having this conversation with their parents. Now, we're going to try and call Patrick again, so let's see how this works. We may just have him in just if only for a quick hello and give you guys a chance to say goodbye. Let's see if we get him.
Hello.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi.
Ooh, a much better connection.
He's coming good.
I'm
going to
be pulling off the road here in about 1 mile to a rest stop.
Are our brains connected or what?
I think Patrick's coming from the other side.
I just have to say, he's got to pull over.
I did. Yeah. When you went off, I said, Barb, tell him to pull off the road.
Well, now you're not pulling into a tunnel or something. You know, I would prefer that you stay above ground for the rest of the interview, okay? Although we both know it's not so bad on the other side, so to speak. Well, I was gonna,
right.
Well, you guys are probably the perfect people to ask for advice when you see there are all of these shows on the air. There must be you must have a couple of pet peeves with all the experience you've had that you watch these shows and you have to say, oh my gosh, they're doing this again. What are some of your pet peeves of ghost hunting where you just want to reach into the TV set and throttle people?
Without a question of a doubt, for me, the thing that irritates me the most is antagonizing spirits to manifest and make activity happen. You know, I'm sorry, spirits were people too once upon a time.
Yes.
And you know, we need to acknowledge that. We need to remember that these are still people, whether or not they have a physical body or not. They're still people, and to sit there and scream up and down and curse and demand that these spirits perform like a circus monkey, I think is just it's a travesty. It really is. And I'm not gonna call shows out by name that resorts to this this technique, if we must call it that. But I'm sure everybody knows what shows are out there. And all I would do is I would urge the cast members on these shows to rethink what they're doing. I mean, sure, it might help boost your ratings, but you know, there's also an ethical line, I feel, that you have to draw at some point. And you know, ratings be damned
at
that point.
We talk about that in our book too. Not to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's really
absolutely
true. I mean, would you go to a zoo and then, like, go up to the lion cage and start throwing things at the lion? Or
exactly. You know what? I wish I wish that the ghosts could throw feces back at the guys that do this, you know? Like the monkeys could throw their feces at people that antagonize them at the zoo. I wish the ghosts could throw ectoplasm at these guys.
Slime them.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Well, maybe, you know what? We just haven't seen it yet, so, but maybe they will slime them. We'll see.
I'd pay to watch that.
Well,
I think the thing that gets me about the TV shows, and it's no cut to them because they are entertainment television programs, is they make it look so easy and so quick. And,
yeah.
I mean, obviously it has to be edited for television, and you can't show 4 hours of sitting in this room and that room and replaying your EVPs because it's boring. And one of the things that I tried to do in The Ghost Huntress is I have them sitting around, and Kendall is complaining that her butt's falling asleep, and she was like, you know, this isn't how they do it on television. And Celia says to her, she's like, you know, well, ghost hunting is oftentimes boring. So I wanted to get across the reality of, while the shows are very entertaining and very well edited and produced well, that when you go on an actual ghost investigation, you know, you have to put in the dedication and the time to sit there and wait for the evidence.
Well, you know, on that note, if I may be so bold, I'm gonna give a thumbs up then, from that perspective, from the show that I was a part of, Haunting Evidence. If you noticed, one of the elements of Haunting Evidence was that they would show like a time lapse of the sun setting, or they would show time lapse of clouds moving by, so that there was at least an indication of the passage of time. It wasn't like, okay, all of a sudden now the team is here, now they're there. You know, it was much more spread out and much more, I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to get at is the element or the suggestion, the hint of the passage of time was definitely there in our show. But I do agree with Marley. You know, a lot of people see these shows and they think, oh, cool, it's only going to take me 10 minutes. I'm going to go in and I'm going to see a ghost appear almost immediately. And it doesn't work that way. You know, I think anybody that's done this for any period of time knows full well that it is 99% of the time you're sitting around waiting for something to happen. It doesn't just automatically happen within the first 10 minutes. And I agree, Marley's absolutely right. That does get lost in translation. That does get lost in the production element of a lot of these shows.
Right.
And that's unfortunate.
Now, you guys both have been to the Stanley Hotel and the Waverly Hills Sanitarium. Are there any really interesting stories that stand out for both you in those two places?
Well, for me, I got 18 minutes of video of poltergeist activity of a ball rolling around on the third floor at Waverly. And it wasn't just rocking back and forth, and it wasn't just going, you know, in a circle. It was moving from person to person. It was changing direction. It was spinning one way and then turning and going the other way. It was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen, and got 18 minutes of it on film and ended up on an episode of A&E's My Ghost Story with the footage. So it was a pretty cool experience.
What kind of, do you know, did you, I've seen the footage and it really is amazing. I think that you can also catch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But what do you think, what kind of, was it a child entity or in its previous time on Earth? Was it most recently a child, do you think? Or was it just another spirit that wanted to reach out?
The philosophy is the floor we were on was the floor where the children who lived there used to have school. And so people in the past who have visited Waverly have claimed to see the spirits of little children on that floor. And because of that, people bring toys and rubber balls to that floor and leave them. So people said, oh, you brought your own ball with you. No, I was walking down the hall, and this ball rolled into me as if to say, hey, I'm here. And at first I thought it might have been a breeze, but it was 98 degrees in the dead of August or dead of July, and there was no breeze. Believe me, I was praying for a breeze. The floor was not crooked because gurneys went up and down these hallways, and just this past time when we went to Waverly, we had someone had a level, and we went to the spot where that happened the year before, and the floor is level. So it wasn't wind. It wasn't a crooked floor. I showed the video to my friend Maureen Wood, who is an empathic psychic medium. I didn't tell her anything. I said, I just want you to watch this and tell me what you're getting from it. And she said that she was picking up the spirit of a little girl from the early 1900s, just past Victorian age, and she had long pigtails, and she was playing with me because she hadn't played in a long time. And her little brother was there, and he was not happy that that she was playing with me. And at some point, the ball got kicked into the other room, and I went in and fetched it and came back, and something was pulling it out of my hand. And at that time, I got an EVP that says, hey, hey, let go. So,
oh, wow.
Wow. So kids will be kids then.
On the other side, too.
Yeah, exactly.
How about Patrick?
Patrick, so was there one experience in either of those places that really jumped out for you?
Yeah, you know, Waverly Hills, I think I've investigated Waverly four times now, or I've done four events there. I've probably conducted eight investigations total, two investigations per event that I've done at Waverly. You know, the activity that I've had there, most of the activity that I've had there has not been off-the-charts experiences like everybody tells me goes on there. You know, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, I would maybe give it a 6, and you know, in terms of most of the experiences I've had there. However, the craziest thing was the event, the same event, the same night. I think actually that Marley recorded her ball video. I was on the third floor, and if you've ever seen Waverly Hills, it kind of is in the building's in kind of a boomerang shape. And the halls kind of dog-leg at one point. And I was told that it was designed that way to capture breeze because that was one of the things key to tuberculosis was they wanted to keep the air ventilation moving throughout to keep people from having to breathe stagnant air and becoming more sick. But one of the points where the hallway on the third floor dog-legs, I walked back there. The rest of the group that I was leading on an investigation was in sort of the center area of the hall conducting an EVP session. And I walked on my own maybe about 75 feet down the hallway to the point where it dog legs. And I was staring down the hall. I was basically there by myself and waiting for something to happen. I was looking at the other end of the hall looking for shadow people because this is supposed to be a good location to see shadow anomalies at. Mm-hmm. For about 10 minutes, and I'm not really seeing anything. And then I turn around, and I see three people walking towards me. I can see kind of see their shadows from the ambient light. There's a little bit of ambient light leaking in through the windows, and you can kind of see all three of these dark figures as they're walking towards me. When they walk in front of the doorway, I can distinctly see 1, 2, 3 people, okay? And two of the three people are holding video cameras. I can see the LEDs on them. I can see their, you know, the light being emitted by them. And I turn around, and I start facing back down the hallway. About 5 to 10 seconds later, they walk past me. Two of them walked past me. stopped and they said, wait a second. I said, where's the third person that was with you? And they said, what are you talking about? There's only the two of us. And I started darting into the rooms in that area, looking. I'm like, no way. I distinctly saw three things walking down this hall. Okay, the third one didn't have any electronics that I could see, but there was definitely a third humanoid shadow shape walking right at your side down the hallway. Unmistakable. One, two, three. I saw them with my own eyes. And I'm like, no, honestly, it's just the two of us. So I start looking around. I'm convinced at this point that somebody just started, you know, jumped into one of the adjacent rooms there. They had some that they done that they didn't even realize, but didn't find anybody. So
I'm getting goosebumps.
I know. That's a great one.
You know what I would say, too, is that this kind of line of work does make you kind of stop occasionally and say, am I crazy?
Yeah.
Did I just see that or no? I mean, I don't think I'm crazy. Most of the people say I'm not crazy, but that was just something else.
Well, you and I had an experience on the Queen Mary a couple months ago.
That was a lot of fun. It was really interesting to get some... Oh, it was... I was doing this. This is the first time it's ever happened for me. I forget the question you had asked, but we were trying to see if there was someone there with us. And then it was really, I had a pendulum with me. And I was saying, okay, if you're here, can you make a turn this way? Can you make a turn that way? And I know that some people say that pendulums can react to anything. And in fact, they can. I've seen some people get excited and whip them all over the place. But Marley was kind of, you know, watching me very closely. And but what was funny is this thing was moving around quite a bit, and I'm trying to be very judicious. I'm not doing this. This is spirit. And then I finally said, if this is really you, can you make the pendulum stop? And it felt like it got pulled out of my hand and was, like, yanked out of my hand.
It was totally yanked out of your hand. It's because, like, your hand did not move.
And so that was something else. No, they were just doing what we asked them to do, a little more forcefully than I expected.
Were you down,
Patrick,
in the pool area?
This was, remember at the top of the escalator where we were, Patrick?
Yeah.
That's where Mark and I went up, and we were dowsing and just asking some questions and doing EVPs, and because there was a group ahead of us, a previous group, that was picking up some energy in that area. And so when Mark was in the next group, I kind of snagged him and said, okay, come check this out with me. And it was really fascinating. It was emotional too. I mean,
yeah.
I think we may have helped this spirit pass along, or at least pass out of the engine room.
Yes.
Yeah. Queen Mary is by far my favorite place to investigate it. The activity that we get there is just off the charts. I mean, I love Waverly. I love the Stanley Hotel. I love Eastern State. I love Rolling Hills. I've been to all these locations, but away by far, you know, the 8 or 9 times that I've been to the Queen Mary, it has never let me down. There's been activity there nearly every time.
The last time we were there, too, is I'm pretty sure that we saw a spirit in our room. I mean, I woke up and I was looking over, and I saw what I thought I saw someone standing by the, we had a window, room with a portal, very typical. And I told Barbara about it in the morning, and she said, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I felt like I woke up, too, and I felt somebody, you know, touching the side that was away from me. So it was touching her leg on the other side away from me, and that she saw someone there too. So it's like, okay, well, someone may be aware that I'm a sensitive, or that they may be having a field day. It's like, oh, good, the ghost hunters are here. Let's mess with them.
My impression was it was like somebody pushing or poking my leg, because I think whoever was doing it to see if I was a real person and not a ghost.
Well, that movie, The Others, always makes me think that, it, you know, question what ghosts or spirit beings perceive.
Yeah, do you think that on the other side that sometimes they don't know what their reality is, like what who is real or who is alive, who is dead? Do they know they're dead, or you know, are they confused?
You know, that's one of the hypotheses out there, is that what will prevent people from crossing over, you know. An analogy that I like to use about it is, maybe most of us do cross over correctly when we pass on. But, you know, just like some people are born with birth defects, maybe there are some people that die with death defects.
That's an interesting idea.
Realize that they've crossed on for whatever reason. You know, maybe if they die in a very traumatic accident, they kind of wander around in an ethereal daze, thinking, "Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm out of it. I'll wake up from this shortly." So, you know, it's certainly an interesting idea.
You know, one of the things, since we're talking about the other side, I've wondered what their perception of time is, and that may be why, in their experience, that they're interacting with us. Maybe in a time frame that seems quick, but I've heard that, you know, many people, I mean, the idea that all time is happening at once, that's one philosophical point of view. Some people might say that paranormal or subatomic particles and quantum mechanics might say that's true as well, but. I've wondered, it's like maybe they think that they're interacting with us in a quick way. They also may be just hoping and praying that we go away. So
absolutely.
Okay, I have to ask you guys, have you seen Paranormal Activity yet?
No, but I've had about 5 people email me and tell me I've got to go, but not to go alone.
Well, you know what, you guys? It's going to be like another day at the office for you, I think.
Yeah.
Hi, honey. I'm gonna go. I'll be back out of lunch. I'm gonna take care of the demon, and then I'll be back after lunch. Okay. I'm promised not to throw your body against the camera, and I'll be back soon.
Now that
they said it's like a Blair Witch type film.
Yeah, there were some things in it that were done pretty well. They got you on the edge of your seat, but it brought up a lot of really interesting issues about. Entities that follow people, and I wonder what's your guys' opinion on that, about having an entity follow you home.
I've never allowed it, so I don't know. I mean, I've had people that have told me they've taken stuff home. I always protect myself in a white light, and I pray, and I just don't believe that anything's going to attach itself to me. And I don't allow it. I don't allow anybody to come home with me except Patrick.
Well, you're taking a risk there, but that's okay. No, I'm hardly. Hardly. I didn't mean that, Patrick. Don't go drive it into a tunnel. I was just playing.
I have conducted a number of investigations over the years where something has apparently followed me home, and we've had activity in my home, subtle activity, but activity nonetheless, go on for usually about 2 or 3 days, and then it just kind of diminishes, it kind of disperses on its own. The best story was about 10... Oh, no, even longer ago than... Yeah, no, I guess it was about 10 years ago. It was before I founded Ghost Towns. I was still part of a group called the Georgia Haunt Hunt Team. And we went to the founder of the group's home in December for a Christmas gathering, Christmas dinner. And we ended up conducting a small, short investigation while we were there. And I ended up leaving the party at about 3 o'clock a.m., heading home. And I was creeped out the whole time I was driving home. All I could hear, you know, I kept feeling like something was in the back seat of the car with me.
Yeah.
Something. Ew. Yeah, I ended up finally readjusting the rear view mirror so I didn't have to look in the back seat. Because if I'd have seen a pair of eyes staring back at me, I'd have probably gone off the ear or something. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to turn the mirror up so I can't see anything in the back seat. I'm going to turn the stereo up good and loud. I had an unmistakable feeling something was riding with me. And I get home about 4 o'clock a.m., and I walk in, and my ex-wife said she heard me come in, heard the door open, heard it close, and heard me come up the stairs. And she ended up falling back to sleep. And I guess sometime later, she woke up, and she saw me coming into, or what she thought was me, coming into the bedroom, a dark, shadowy shape. You know, it was very dark in the room, but enough ambient light was coming in that she could see somebody about my height and my build walking towards her side of the bed. And she said, she started to sit up. She thought, oh, how sweet. He brought me a glass of water. And as she started to sit up in bed, she realized I was already in bed. And looked back at this thing, and it was gone. Just like, and she was our second child at this time, and she told me the next day, she said, I just wanted to let you know, you brought something home with you last night. She said, this isn't going to be a regular occurrence, is it? Very, very rare, but it has happened a number of times since then. Not every time, but occasionally it does. And I think it's more of the spirit, if that's what it is, almost like they're reaching out to you. It's like, no, you came here trying to contact me and communicate with me. Here I am, I'm right here, can't you see me? And then you go back to your day-to-day life at home, and they realize that you've lost interest in them. You're no longer paying attention to them. And at that point, I think they kind of meander off on their own back to where they came from. Okay. You know, just one of my hypotheses about it. But, stuff can follow you home. It doesn't mean it's always bad, though. No.
Okay, what are you guys' opinion about the Ouija board? There was a part in the movie that involved the Ouija board, and I'd like to hear what both of you feel about that.
I don't mess with things, quite frankly. I played with it when I was a kid, but it was one of those, you know, oh, who am I going to marry? Spell out his name. You know, spelled out, you know, Ferdinand Gonzalez or something. I don't know. You know, I just think that you're inviting too much of the unknown when you do something like that, and I don't mess with it. And we talk about it in our book. We advise people not to use them in our book, too.
Well, here's the thing. I really don't make any distinction between dowsing rods, a pendulum, or a Ouija board. To me, they are all forms of dowsing. In fact, if you have a pendulum, you can suspend it over a Ouija board and the individual letters, and you can get a response depending on what area of the board you're holding it over. You don't need a planchet on the board physically. You can merely suspend a pendulum over the Ouija board and get answers. And I understand how the Ouija board works. The Ouija board itself doesn't have any power. The power does come from within. People always play with the Ouija board, and they say, it feels like you're pushing it. No, it feels like you're pushing it. Well, they both are. This is my own hypothesis on how it works. It is your involuntary subconscious muscle impulses that are pushing the board around or that are swinging the pendulum back and forth or that are swinging the dowsing rods. It is you doing it. It is your subconscious mind that's doing it. And the thing is, it doesn't mean it's not a spirit. I think it's entirely plausible to assume that a spirit might channel through your body and use you as the conduit to move these various devices around. But I find it kind of humorous, though, when I see ghost hunters, oh, the Ouija board, no, stay away from it, it's too evil. Where do I put my pendulum? You know?
Well, it has a lot to do with personal, I guess, your personal take or touch on it and what you put into
it. But you know, my personal thing is it's working on the same principle as the Ouija board, the pendulum is, the dowsing rods are. You know, they are being pushed by your involuntary muscle impulses, but that's not to say spirit can't do that. Spirit can't channel through you and use you as a conduit. But, you know, the only difference really to me between a Ouija board and a pendulum is the pendulum only answers yes, no, maybe questions, whereas the Ouija board can spell stuff out specifically. But personally to me, I the similarities between the two in terms of their operation, the way they work, is beyond obvious to me. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, you see why it's so much fun to investigate with Patrick, because he brings that scientific thing to an investigation. I wouldn't know about involuntary subconscious muscle reactions. I learned this stuff from him.
Well. Patrick is a very keen observer, I'm sure. Yeah. By the way, in case people don't know, if you go to your website for photography, it's patrick-burns.net?
That's correct.
And by the way, I've got two of your photos up on the walls of my office.
Thank you very much.
I've got a wonderful, no thank you, it's an image of the Stanley, and I have one of Houdini, and then I have another one of the Queen Mary that we're going to be putting up. So,
wonderful!
I advise everybody check it out. You'll be really pleased. But
I have to say, my friend Maureen said this about Patrick. She thought when she first met him, she asked him if he was psychic, and he said, "No, I'm completely insensitive." But but Maureen had a point that when you look at Patrick's photography. And yes, I'm biased, but his photography is phenomenal.
It is.
He has a psychic eye
mm-hmm.
in that he can foresee what this picture is going to look like in infrared and how it's set up. He has a psychic eye where he can just really zap these pictures and make magic. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, just for me, I've yet to go to the Stanley, but when I look at the hotel, it reminds me that I am going there, and also too, it evokes there's more to a place than meets the eye, and that's what I get out of the photography. So I appreciate what you do. There.
Y'all are too kind, and I do tell people for whatever reason I seem to be able to. I tell people I quote unquote see an infrared. I do look at a photograph, I do look at an image or a subject. And I can pretty much ascertain how it's going to look in infrared because of the way I've trained my eyes to look for that. I look for cloud cover really is a key element in my infrared photography. I was beside myself today. I have my infrared camera with me on this road trip, but unfortunately the lens is broken. Arlington National Cemetery today.
Ooh. Wow.
That's
awesome. Yeah, I could probably spend 2 or 3 days there wow. photographing. It was really surreal. I saw a number of subjects that would have been really nice, but we had an absolutely beautiful stratus cloud cover over the Washington, D.C. area, those really high-altitude, wispy clouds that almost scales on a fish just would have made for some of the most amazing
photographs. So I'm walking around Arlington. I finally got to the point where I wasn't even looking up anymore. I'm like, I'm making myself sick here, just looking at the sky. I'm like, okay, well, that only means that it wasn't meant to be this time, and that I have to go back, and hopefully next time I'm back there, the clouds will be equally, if not more, so impressive.
Wow. I would love to see it. Actually, I did want to ask both of your opinions on another thing that we experienced, or that I learned about at the Queen Mary, which is the idea, and it also relates to the film Paranormal Activity. Two things about the film. They talk about a demon essentially following a woman through her life. And I have always been kind of on the fence about whether there are demons or not. And I've heard from very credible people. We heard about from some of them at the conference about demon activity. And then this film, of course, it's just Hollywood. But it was, they brought up some interesting possibilities. And have you guys, how do you feel about the possibility of demon activity?
Go ahead, Molly.
Go ahead. I'm going to be quiet.
Cell phone delays are such a wonderful thing, aren't they? It's like, when you go to the stop sign and the other car, you wave them through and they wave you through and you wave them through and you both go at the same time and then you stop and then you wave. That's what the cell phone to me. Just really quickly, I wanted to say, Mark, I share your sentiments on the subject. I am very much on the fence about alleged demonic activity. I think it could go either way. My mentor in the field, Dr. Hans Holzer, was adamant. He said there are no such things as demons. He said that this is entirely, something that was made up by the church to get people away from paganism and get them back into the pews on Sunday. He said if you do the historical research, there was no devil. There were no demons in early Christianity. This all came about much, much later on, to me, I found very interesting. They wanted an antichrist, an adversary for Jesus, and they found him in creating this antichrist devil. And whether or not people believe in demons or not is, it's entirely up to them. I asked Hans Holzer, I said, well, how do you account for the negative things that happen to people in instances of hauntings? And he said, well, it's quite simple. He basically said if somebody was a jerk in life, they can be a jerk in death, too, especially if they're earthbound and trapped. If they can't cross on, they're stuck in this plane of existence, then you've got a situation where it makes for a very, very bitter person that is stuck between this plane of existence and the next. So I don't think that I don't know. I'm not prepared to make a statement one way or the other. If demonic activity goes on, if it is real, my good friend in the field, John Zaffis, says it's very, very rare. He's one of the foremost, if not the foremost, demonologists in the world today. And he said true demonic activity is extremely rare. He said it just isn't something that comes out every day. And, you hear about these groups that are going out and conducting investigations, and they're supposedly finding demons every place they go. And I think that's I'm a little skeptical, maybe a tad cynical about that. If the foremost authority on this subject says it's not that frequent, and yet all these other teams are going out there finding it all the time, left and right, and somebody's not telling the truth. Or somebody's being misled.
Yeah. I think someone is being misled is a very, very accurate point of view. That and Who was the gentleman? Do you guys remember the person we had who was speaking on demon possession? He
on the Queen Mary.
Oh, Adam Bly.
Adam Bly. He comes from a very Catholic perspective, and I guess the idea that if you believe in angels, then the converse of that might be true. I don't know, but in my and he seemed very committed to it. But I think that if you have a certain religious point of view, that spirit is going to give take what you give it. If you believe that there's going to be demons, I think that they're not above misleading you. I think that they can and will, you know. So you want me to be a demon? Oh sure, rawr. What do you think of that? Rawr. Oh yeah, you know. The other thing.
What? No, go ahead, Mark.
The other thing too is that I do think that many spirits are able to telepathically know what's going on in your head. So,
sure.
So let's say in I think Adam Bly presented himself in a very credible way. He has a very strong religious belief and he lives and follows it. And I won't say I don't know that I agree with him, but I think that it is possible for a spirit to get in his head and then to maybe act or interact with him in a way that it works for both of them.
Sure. Well, here's a good example of that, Mark, is at the Queen Mary itself.
Yes.
The first class school. We have the ghost of Jackie, who is a small child who drowned in the pool. Sometime when the ship was operating, so on and so forth, there's a whole story behind it. Problem is, there was another child named Jackie that died on the ship, let alone drowned. This is a story that was embellished, made up by the Disney Company when they owned the Queen Mary or were the tenant of the Queen Mary. Back in the early 1990s, they created the spirit of Jackie, quote unquote. Now, with that said, there is something going on in the first-class swimming pool that appears to have assumed the role of Jackie. Is it evil? Is it demonic? I don't know. But something in there has simply, it would appear, has seized on become that personality, has taken up upon that persona, and has become Jackie, and now Jackie is a quote-unquote ghost in the first class swimming pool. So, exactly going with what you're saying about demons being ghost spirit being able to do the same thing. You want me to be a demon? Fine, I'm a demon. Ooga booga.
The other thing, too, is I think that, you know, the same way they can ride our electrical energy, you know, with our equipment, use it to manifest themselves in some respect, that I think that they might be able to do that with our perceptions.
Why not?
Absolutely. Marley, what do you think?
Well, like Patrick, I don't know for sure. I don't think any of us know for sure. I do believe in angels, so the antithesis of that would be demons. I mean, how can I believe in angels and not believe in that there's a counterpart to it, you know? I guess it's that universal struggle between good and evil, that if you have, you know, the angels watching out over us and taking care of us and being God's messengers to us, then I guess you've got the demons to wreak havoc and stir up trouble. I don't know, that that's just based on childhood religion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It remains to be seen, but I think it's really cool to think that we're surrounded by angels. I think it's comforting,
uh-huh,
and encouraging. And I think if you let them, I don't know. I have never encountered anything demonic. I don't want to. I will never put my teenage ghost hunters in a situation where they're demon hunting in the book. I just won't do that. It seems that demon hunting is now the new black.
I want to stay as far away from that as humanly possible.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I mean, because if it is real, I don't want to get mixed up in that. Not at all.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say really quickly, the flip side to what Molly just said about all of that, somebody whom Molly and I know quite well believes that all ghosts are demons and aliens are demons and everything that we're doing, we're being fooled, we're being misled, and that all spirit is actually demonic activity. So
therefore,
you have to
rejoin the church or you'll burn in hell.
Exactly.
I'm tired of people trying to scare me into believing things. And I mean that in both a political and a supernatural and a paranormal sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Scaremongering can be a very, very powerful weapon when it's yielded against weak-willed people.
It's true. It's true. Just Marley, to get back to you, there is a book that one of the best books. I'm actually very fortunate. We had a guy on a few weeks ago, Rob Grant, and he wrote a book on Edgar Casey's view on angels and archangels, and it's based a lot on his readings. It's by ARE, but if you look up Rob Grant, he did a great book on it. If you're interested in learning more about the angels or at least his perspective, writes a compelling book.
I personally have had three encounters with what I believe are angels that were watching out for me. So,
can you tell us a little bit about them?
I'll tell you a quick one. When I was 15, I had cancer, and I was in the hospital for about a month. They had to do a couple biopsies to figure out what it was, and then we had what we called the big surgery to remove my left fibula and the tumor and part of my periosteal nerve. And the night before my major surgery, my mother slept in a chair by my side in my hospital room, and in the middle of the night, I woke up and I saw this very large black lady standing at the edge of my bed in nurse's outfit. I could describe her, but it doesn't matter right now. And she was praying at the foot of my bed. She had her hand on my left foot, and she was praying. And Mother woke up, and she said, "Is everything okay?" Because she thought, you know, the nurse was checking on me. And the woman kind of put her finger up to her mouth, and she says, "You go back to sleep, sis." She says, "You go back to sleep." I don't know if she called her sis or shug. She says, Everything's going to be just fine. And what I did not know at this time was my parents had to sign a release that if they got into my leg and it was too bad that they could amputate. I did not know that.
Wow.
And so my mother, I saw the conversation, and Mother went back to sleep, and so do I. The next morning, she went to the nurse's station to ask about the nurse, because she wanted to thank her for praying over me. And she described the lady to the nurse's station, and nobody fit that description. And she said, "Well, is it someone from another floor that just maybe walked around praying for people?" And they're like, "Well, no, any nurse that's on duty here is too busy to just wander around to other floors." So I had a very successful surgery. I did not lose my leg. And Mother and I are convinced that we were visited by an angel that night.
Wow.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing it. That's really, I find that very life affirming. I find that very spirit and soul affirming. And that's a great story. And I know it's not a story. It's a great experience. And I appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, sure. And you know what? It was some random woman that just went to people's beds and prayed for them, then you know what? She is an angel, if that's what she does.
Yes. Well, I'm going to guess that they tend to not let random people wander around hospitals, especially great big tall ladies. You know, it's like, "Hey, what are you doing here? Can I see some ID?" Sure. My wings are right here. What do you think?
Yeah.
I have kind of a celebrity story I just saw. I don't know if you're a fan of Suzanne Summers or not, but She tends to be a little out there sometimes, but one thing I do respect is she's trying. She had breast cancer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer,
right,
about 10 years ago, and she's been healing herself through natural, homeopathic remedies, and I guess she's, you know, pretty much beating it, or you know, it keeping it at bay. But recently, I guess she said she came down with some illness and she didn't know what it was. And the doctors didn't know exactly what it was, but they did biopsies and everything. But the first thing they told her was that she had full body cancer and that, you know, she was going to die. Mm. And when they told her that, she said, and she's going to be on Larry King and talk about all this too, but she said, right there, I was preparing myself to die. And she said she went to sleep, and she actually felt she was visited by an angel. And she said the big message she got was, you know, it doesn't matter how much stuff you have or what your status is. What matters is who loves you and who you love. And that's what really matters. And I thought that was a really beautiful message.
That is beautiful. And if I can be a bit of a publicity hound here.
Please.
I have a book. I have another book that's out. And it's kind of paranormal if you want to look at it that way. It's called Christmas Miracles. And it's a nonfiction book. In hardcover from St. Martin's Press that just came out last week. And it's true stories from everyday people about miracles that happen in their life around Christmas time.
Wow.
And there's some real heartwarming stories in there. Some where people have had angel encounters, some where people had dreams and things happened, or went to a hospital and miraculously healed. It's a really good book for the holidays, and especially these times when, you know, people are so depressed and there's so much bad news just being tossed at us. But it's really uplifting and spiritual and hopefully inspirational and encouraging to people. So I encourage people to go pick the book up. It's the pre-sales are so good on it. They're already in, the book is already in its third printing.
Please give me the title again. Can you let us know?
Sure. It's called,
and the website, too, if they want to read about
sure.
you.
It's Christmas Miracles, and it's by Cecil Murphy and Marley Gibson. And you may know Cecil as one of the authors of 90 Minutes in Heaven, which has been on the bestseller list for like 5 years. And you can get more information about it at marleygibson.com.
That's great. I love story. You know, I'm on my card, and I just believe it. And I'm not the first person to say it, but I really believe it's true. We are never alone. We are never alone. That in a time of crisis, in a time of difficulty, that we can I believe we have guides. I believe that a guide, a guardian angel, it is the same being. It just depends on your cultural background, what you bring to it. And I really do think that people do have angels there for them. So I've got to read that book. That sounds fantastic.
Cool.
Oh, have you seen, not It's a Wonderful Life, that certainly everyone has seen that.
Wife.
Have you seen The Bishop's Wife?
With Cary Grant.
Love the movie.
Oh, it's
great.
Well, it's about a Christmas angel who shows up in a pinch of time for someone that is asking for help. All right, let's shift. I do want to come back to the Ghost Huntress because I want to find out where you're going to take her next, if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Let's see. What can I tell you?
What can you give to the fans who are frothing at the mouth, who want to know, where is she going? What's happening to this poor girl?
Have I put Patrick to sleep?
I hope not.
Is he still with us?
Patrick, are you there?
Patrick. Okay. Well, I will tell you an interesting story about book three. Book three is called The Reason. And as Patrick can attest and witness to, 2009 has been a bit of a challenge for me. And I've had quite a lot
go wrong this year, but I've also had a lot go right. And I think the reason, the book's reason, was one of the things that, that really went right for me. I wrote the book in 22 days, and I wrote it in the car while we were on the road this summer. I'm not one to push a deadline or ask for extensions, but with all the challenges I was dealing with earlier this year, my editor did give me a little more time. And, of course, I waited to the last minute, and Patrick's finally like, you have to get this book written. And I don't know what happened with it. I just, one day, all of a sudden, I had to tell the story. And I wrote it in 22 days in the car, and my editor said it's the best thing I've written. So with that being said, as I make the big build-up there, the reason follows the second book, right after the second book happened, The Guidance. And the reason, gosh, I'm trying to remember what the book, oh, okay. I'll tell you what they have on Amazon. It says, it's not every day you have a premonition of your own demise, but 2 months after Kendall had a vision of her own death, all is well in her world. Maybe some cosmic wires got crossed. Then Kendall gets a request by the mayor of Rassen to investigate the mayoral manor. Emily and Lorraine warn her against it. The spirit is dangerous, but not even they can see just how dangerous. But during the aftermath of her run-in with the spirit, Kendall learns a life-shattering secret. Now Kendall has an even bigger problem. Somehow, she's got to pull her life together if she wants to cleanse the mayor's mansion and bring peace to the home and to herself.
By the way, for everyone who doesn't know, Radisson is the town, in an imagined town in outside an hour or so outside Atlanta. Where...
Yep, it's based on Madison, Georgia, where my agent lives.
Oh, how fun.
And Patrick, would you like to tell them the name of the mayor of Rassen?
The mayor's name, the mayor of the fictional town of Rassen, Georgia, is Mayor Don Shy.
Oh, you're kidding.
What a silly name. Who could ever
all right,
just...
Don
Shy.
She's a mayor.
Oh, yeah.
It is Dawn. I have described her as a very petite, beautiful woman with long blonde hair and glasses.
Oh, how funny. That is so cool.
Dawn, you never told us.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I've never seen the mayor of Radisson and Dawn in the same place.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah,
you know,
I tell
you. You know, have you seen them both together at the same place? I think that there is a real connection there.
And I also have 3 contest winners at Darkness Radio events. I auctioned off naming rights to a character in the book, and one lady bought the rights. I'm trying to think, at Waverly Hills. I think she paid $175 for me to kill off her mother-in-law. So her mother-in-law is the evil spirit that Kendall is battling. Her name is Sherry Bittison. And then someone else paid, I want to say $325 at another event to have her son put in. And so he's one of the yearbook staff. And then last December at the Queen Mary, my friend Mary Holt paid $600. Now, they're not paying me. The money goes to charity, just want your listeners to know. Paid $600 to Haven House for her daughter, Shelby Nicole, to be in the book. And because she did that, I made Shelby Nicole a very major character in book 3.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
That's really nice.
Haven House does that. It's a wonderful cause for battered women, correct?
Yeah. Correct. Run by Aaron Gray.
Yeah, I was there that night.
That's great.
Well, how much would it cost, let's say, if I wanted you to name, like, the dog catcher? Or
the dog catcher.
Is there a dog catcher, or is there a guy like that? Your protagonist at Kendall doesn't like at school. It's like, oh, that jerk Mark Nelson. I can't believe
him. Stop it.
God, he's such a bully. I think he stinks and he smells bad.
I would never do that to you.
Have you noticed a body odor coming off of that young man, Mark Nelson?
I have to say that almost every name in the book is a real person, and I don't know why I did that, mainly because the mostly people that I used to work with at the financial company that I'm no longer at, mostly they're people on the sales desk, and I would throw their names in the placeholders until I would think up something better, but they dig that their names are in a book, and they, like, call their mom, and say, Mom, I'm going to be in a book, so I don't leave their names. I'm trying to think in the guy, you're on the guidance right now. Stephanie Crawford is a friend of mine. That's one of the characters in the book. And she's one of the sales people. Sean Carmichael is another salesperson. Is that mean? There are a lot of little inside jokes. The guy, did you come to the scene in the bowling alley yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, the guy in the bowling alley, when you get to that, the guy who owns the bowling alley is one of the salespeople, and the spirit that Kendall and Kim is also another salespeople. So it's fun when people are reading it and they trip across a name they're familiar with. And in fact, the name Kendall Moorhead is an actual person.
Oh, she is. Who is she? Or can you say?
Kendall Moorhead was a defensive lineman for the University of Alabama back in the early 90s.
Oh, how funny.
A very large African-American man who was very good at tackling quarterbacks. And I always loved that name, and I always thought, I'm going to make that a character name one day. And so that's where Kendall Moorhead came from.
So tell me, have you devised an appropriate character for someone named, say, Patrick Burns? You know, is there someone that really deserves a little, like, a poke in the eye, or is there someone that deserves a hug, or... Have you decided the fate yet of Patrick Burns? Will he die, say, a very terrible, insane death? Or will he become the President of the United States in this book? Have you made mind there?
I will tell you, and Patrick, if you want to chime in, Patrick will be appearing in book 4.
Is he going to be the, and now the President of the United States, Patrick Burns.
No. Oh, my God, no. Please don't do
that. You've got the hair. The president has to have good hair, you know?
Like Mr. Burns.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
No, you'll just have to wait and see. I have to write it, but I've written the synopsis already, and I've given it to my editor. And, you'll see. The fourth book is called Counseling.
Counseling. Oh, so he's the sexy, smart and talented town counselor, or the counselor at the high school. Oh, gee, that Patrick Burns, he's so dreamy. I could already hear them talk. With his wavy hair and those lilting eyes. Oh, yes, I think so, too. See, it writes itself.
Hey, don't give her any ideas.
Barb, hose him down, will you?
I've been trying to.
Oh, I'm coming from you, Mark.
What did Patrick say?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I just it just seemed like a good opportunity to kind of. Did you?
What did you say?
Oh, did you? Said, go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
Along coming from Mark, having him here. Oh, that Patrick Burns. He has those dreamy eyes and that. Just giving me a little bit of a pitch here.
Well, I'll let you guys can argue about just how the merits of the literary Patrick Burns as opposed to the real one.
The literal one, that's right.
Literal versus the literary.
And I will tell you, listeners, that Ghost Hunters Book 3, The Reason, is already available on Amazon for pre-order. If they can't wait, they can. You'll get it about 4 or 5 days before it's actually released.
Wow, well, that is a treat for everybody, really. So we know that we're not going to be having anything kind of dark in the next The Huntress series. Is there anything? We talked about angels. Do you foresee Kendall actually experiencing something on the very bright side of things?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. And I will say,
I do not plan, at this point, unless my editor directs me to do it, I do not plan on them dabbling with demons. Oh, there's a good book title, Dabbling with Demons. However, the books will get darker the more the series continues, because I have to keep things fresh and interesting, and I have to keep the readers coming back.
Do you see her going to college? Do you see her staying at the high school for a while, or how do you perceive this going on?
Patrick should tell his theory of what I should do with Kendall. He tells me I should never graduate from high school.
Patrick, is that true?
That's true. I told her, I said, you know, don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. You can have this thing going on, you know, it'd be a 100-book series. If she doesn't age, if there's no passage of time, then, you know, you can perpetuate this on forever.
Just leave out things like in Harry Potter when they kept graduating. Unfortunately, Harry Potter went to a magical school that had, what, 11 years before you could get out of it or something like that? Wizarding school, does anybody graduate? It's like I'm in like my ninth year. I mean, am I ever getting out of here? Oh, you're a sophomore still. Oh, my God. I mean, maybe that's the kind of thing.
I am kind of taking it slowly. I mean, the first book, it covers, I think, maybe 2 months. And the second book, Harry, covers 1 month. And then the third book is like another month. And the fourth book is going to be a week. So I'm writing the stories as they come to me, as the characters talk to me in my head, and I know throw a net over me, right? But
well, that makes sense, though. I mean, how many? Again, back to Nancy Drew. I mean, there were literally dozens of books, and I don't think that if she aged, it was very little, really, and it didn't really have any bearing on the quality of her experiences or what she learned. And
well, I mean, and she's completely reinvented now. I mean, they have new books coming out now. I think she's 17. And, you know, when Nancy Drew was written, the name was Carolyn Keene, but she has many faces. Many, many writers wrote the Nancy Drew books. But, they're still putting them out today. So I am not upset at all at people comparing the books to Nancy Drew meets Ghost Whisperer.
Well, it's a great series, and I think you've got, you know, something that's going to continue. Yeah. I'd actually like to talk a little bit more about your Christmas book, if we could.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, it would be really interesting. I mean, you see all of these experiences that people had and many different experiences with angels. How? What are some of the commonalities that you see?
Well, I have to say that not all the stories are supernatural in nature. They are inspirational. For instance, we have one story is a man is lying in the hospital, gravely ill, when he hears angels singing, or what he thinks are angels singing, and he makes a full recovery. But then we've also got a story about a little boy who's dyslexic, who His only wish for Christmas is to be able to sit down and read a book all the way through. And he gets a book for Christmas and reads it all the way through, and his disability's gone. And then another thing, like a woman who is unemployed, she has no money, no end in sight, and a letter appears in a mailbox with $600. You know, things like that. So it's ordinary people who have experienced some act of God and God's grace in a moment around Christmas and the holidays that is miraculous in their life.
Hmm. That's a beautiful thing. Barbara, I think, has a question from the chat room.
Yeah, I have. Actually, I'm going to combine. We have two questions. One of them has to do with... have you ever been in a situation, either Marley or Patrick, where you felt that you couldn't control or handle? And the second question is about the dangers. What is your honest opinion of the dangers of the paranormal?
let Patrick go on that one.
No, I've never been in the situation where I thought I couldn't handle something. Yeah, I've heard about these extreme haunting cases where people are getting thrown across the room and having objects thrown at them. Never had anything like that happen to me. You know, knock on wood. People tell me it's only a matter of time, but that's the case. I've been doing this for 10 years, so I'm still waiting. I'm still knock on wood, nothing like that has happened to me yet. And I'm sorry, the second part of the question?
Was what are the dangers, the real dangers of paranormal investigation?
Well, you know, I think most of the dangers that you encounter, first and foremost, are always going to be those of the physical world. We warn teens not to avoid the temptation to go into condemned buildings because they're very oftentimes structurally unsound. You might run into a transient in there, drug abuser or something, can get yourself into a bad situation. I've always said, fear of living, not the dead.
Yeah. I was going to say that the living are much more dangerous than the dead.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, if you've ever heard Jay and Grant do their presentation, they tell stories about investigations they've gone on where the client was the scariest thing in the building.
Yeah, I believe that. I do.
Yeah.
I've been, and, you know, just sometimes the idea, like you're saying, you're walking around in a dark place. You know, some of these old buildings have holes in the floor. Some of these old buildings have got nails sticking out. And just physically, those kind of things. I worry about that a little bit. I'm not asking for this, but I have yet to have what I would call kind of a nasty spirit follow me home or something that I felt was angry or put, you know, I think that they may have the ability to affect your mood or maybe influence your thoughts a little bit, but I ultimately still do believe that you have control over what you experience. I mean, if you say, I want you to leave, you're going to leave. I mean, I understand the idea that many people believe wholeheartedly in possession by negative or evil spirits or demons. I don't want to, you know, say, ha, I don't believe you. I dare you. I mean, I that's the last thing I want to do. And by the way, spirit listening, I do not dare anybody to take me over. I'm not interested in playing in that thing. I'm going to start getting the Hail Marys going again real quick. So that's not the idea here. But I think that that's possible. Also, too, that I think it's very important to, you know, if you're around a lot of dark places, I mean, sometimes, you know, when we're doing this work, we're dealing with people who possibly died in a very sad and tragic way. It's important to pay attention to your feelings and your thoughts. I think that it's, you know, if you're around a lot of negative or you're focused, let's say, on a lot of negative, angry or sad things, so to speak, that can influence how you feel. And you don't want to find yourself going towards a depression. And I think that's possible. So what are you guys plan? Let's say, so what are your plans I want to talk just a little bit more about your book, and then let's find out what you guys are doing for Halloween, and then we'll see what's... I'm sure you've got at least one or two fun things planned, but...
You know, it's really sad. Two professional ghost hunters like us have no plans for Halloween.
You're just going to hand out candy. Well, you can stay home and watch a good scary movie then.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, I think that's okay. I mean, frankly, this is, you know, I've had more good experiences away from Halloween. I mean, we're actually going to be going out to investigate a place out in Riverside, California this weekend. A lady named Rebecca, who we met through Don Shy, invited us to come out to investigate some historic three-story old building out there, and it's supposed to be quite an interesting place where things move around. It's actually part of my question about are we going to be, you know, they're not sure if there's like dark energy or negative energy around it. And I'm going to, I don't think there is, but we'll see. But so you guys have got a quiet Halloween. How funny.
Well, so far, we've been invited to a costume party. I don't know if we're going to do that, but I don't know. We're still open for options. If people want to email me or Patrick suggestions, we'll be in the Boston area. What do you want to do, Patrick?
I want to go trick-or-treating.
You want to go trick-or-treating? You can dress as the ghost. You can dress as the ghost geek, and we'll be trick-or-treating.
Oh, that'd be good. You could put on a sheet. You know, that's always a pretty convincing ghost outfit. We all know they look like that. well, that's a lot of, you know, maybe Marla, we should have you back on before Christmas to talk about your book.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Be happy to. And I have a co-author on it. His name is Cecil Murphy, as I said. And he, Ron Piper, did the 90 Minutes Ahead. If you haven't read that, it's a great book. Patrick's reading it now. It's about a Baptist minister who was in a horrific car accident. And he was pronounced dead at the scene. And he said he was pronounced dead at the scene. And I think he was clinically dead for 90 minutes. And he had an out-of-body experience in which he went to heaven.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to get you both on then, certainly, to talk about that.
Maybe so.
And then, I'm sure we'll get you on before, but do you guys have any big investigations planned before the end of the year?
Patrick, what are we doing in November?
I'm sorry?
What's the event we're doing in November?
We're doing the paranormal conference in South Carolina.
North Carolina.
You know, I'm so mad right now. I'm exhausted. I can't think straight.
All right. Well, we'll let you go, Pat. But just to make sure that everyone can find out, if let's say you have a website that might be able to help people track where you're going. So where in the world would Patrick Burns and Marla Gibson be, say, next? Where should they look to see if they want to catch up with you?
I'm going to have a page pretty soon on my website. They can chat there. We usually tweet or Facebook what we're doing. So people can reach us on our Twitter or Facebook accounts. And Patrick, don't you have the calendar on your website?
I'm sorry, say again?
Don't you have your calendar on your website?
I do, yeah. I'm sorry, you're picking up a little bit. My calendar is on my website at patrick-burns.com. Not to be confused with my photography website, which is patrick-burns.net.
Well, I appreciate you guys being with us, and Marley, I'm going to get back to you about my friend Mary.
And okay, thanks.
And then I definitely want to talk about having you back for your book on, I've been just crazy about reading about this book on angels myself, and it's very life-affirming, and it's a wonderful thing. So, Barbara has something.
Yeah, and you know, we'd actually like to go on an investigation with you guys sometime, maybe back east, so... Keep
cool.
that in mind. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And
absolutely. You guys should come to Ghost Talk when Patrick gets the next one.
We would love to do that. So we'll be in touch well before then. And
okay.
Hey, I want to thank both of you guys for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and it's always fun. And I hope you don't mind me describing in rather lascivious detail
the dreamy eyes.
Burns. I don't mean to be silly.
He does have dreamy eyes.
Well, you would be a far better judge than mine. As it should be.
Well, thank you for having us on and for letting me talk about my books and our book, and very much appreciated.
Well, you guys are a lot of fun, and everybody, read the books. They're a lot of fun. If you get a chance, go to a book signing. They're both very charming, fun, and approachable people. And Believe me, if they would let me approach them, they would let anybody approach them.
So,
that does have something there. So, both of you guys,
Thank you, Patrick.
Get a good night's sleep. Hopefully you're not starting it yet, because I think you may be behind the wheel still. So be careful about that.
Thank you. I will.
And Marley, thank you so much again. And I'll be talking to you within a day.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Great.
Well, those guys are a lot of fun, and we're very, very lucky to have them come visit us tonight. Barb, I mean, there's a lot. We're all over the place, but, you know, that's the thing. It's you get a couple like that, and they're both very accomplished. They've done a lot, and so it makes for an interesting evening where you don't know where you're going to end up talking about Christmas angels, or you're going to be talking about, you know, ghosts in Georgia or wherever.
I think Marley and Patrick are a great couple.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
They kind of balance each other.
Yes, they do. They're both very interesting people. Well, we do have a little time left. If anyone would like a reading, 818-5, what's the number again?
818-574-8412.
818-574-8412. I'm open to give a little quick reading. Also, too, I wanted to let you know next week, we're going to be honoring all of our friends who are witches. We're going to have our first witch-themed show. It's going to be The Witches of Hollywood, with apologies to my good friend Marla. She's certainly my favorite witch in Hollywood, one of the ones that we know best, and she's a wonderful lady, and I'm very glad to get to know her. But we will be doing a follow-up. She's going to be talking witches. Well, if you guys are interested in learning a little bit more, we will have... three very interesting witches and a couple of guests, thanks to our friend Don Shy, the mayor of Radisson, Georgia.
Is it really Halloween next week?
It really is next week.
Wow, that came pretty quick.
I better go put up the Christmas lights. I'm gonna be so far behind the eight ball. It's ridiculous. But I want to let you know, next week we've got Krista W. Schwimmer and Michael Wambach. They are both people who describe themselves as witches here, and a married couple here in the Los Angeles area. I understand from my friend Mary, Mary Griffin, also too, is a producer slash, I guess, someone who would describe herself as Wiccan. She introduced us to this really interesting couple. Again, they're experts in the area of Wicca. And they'll be able to talk a lot about the traditions. Anything that Marla doesn't cover, we'll try to get to it. But they're very interesting people. And I understand Michael drives a 76 Trans Am, and they live with a crow, and he wears a kilt. So that should be more of a visual than most people get to have. I've already, you know, tried. I mean, it's like a superhero slash Braveheart. I don't know what to make of him. But he's going to be a very interesting, three of them will be very interesting guests. And, of course, Don is going to help us have a surprise guest or two to talk about what else is going and happening at this fun and exciting time of the year. So, again, if someone would like to call in for a reading, it's 818-574-8412. We've got probably a little less than that now, but I want to let people know that Barb and I are going to be doing an investigation, it looks like, this weekend. A friend of ours that we met through Don. Apparently, we only meet people through Don. If you might get that impression, but sometimes it feels like that. We're going to go to this house, and we do have a reading, or we do have a call. Hello, this is Mark. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I was just calling in to see about... a reading on the radio station.
Sure, and your name?
Marie.
Hi, Marie. Is there, since we only have a little time, is there an area that you want me to focus on?
Oh, my God.
Business or your, what? Like an area of your life?
My relationship, relationship.
Okay. I can actually hear me in the background. Can you turn that down for a moment?
Yep.
Okay. I feel like that... here's the visual I'm getting. It's almost like your hands are clapping together. It's like... I don't know if you guys are getting back together, if there was a breakup, It just feels like, okay, it's like a hand clap. So it feels like the two of you are coming together in a way that would, if there's been things that have needed to be talked about, I think that this would be a good time to do that. I'm seeing the two of you coming together. It feels like a time to figure things out a little bit. The other thing, too, is that this is a good time to air your feelings, air what's going on in your thoughts, and to take a little time to do that. I'm hearing air it, talk about things, all right? If you don't, I feel like that you're missing an opportunity, okay? So this is a good time to solve, wrap things up, and I think that...
I think all of that's been said and pretty much done. Everything's been aired, and and change is nothing.
Okay, well then, if that's the case, then this also then I would say that it's coming to an end. Okay, because you know how like you can clap and say we're done, you know, and,
yes,
and that's what it feels like. Then, if you haven't done, if you've done all of this, then. I'm going to suggest to you that it's not going to last, that it's going to wrap up pretty quickly, and that it just feels like it's finny. And so I'm sorry, but it just doesn't, but you know what? I have to tell you, it feels like there's a certain amount of relief on your part.
Yes. Yes.
And so, I would not say this is a bad thing. It just feels like it's, that's that hand clap coming together. So. I would say that you can leave friends, but you need to kind of pay attention to how you handle that.
Okay.
But it's like if you haven't aired it, then it's time to look at other relationships. And I think that also too, I would ask you to make sure that you don't rush into something else. I think you need a little...
absolutely not. Yeah. Oh God, no. No, that's the last thing in the world would ever want.
I don't know if it's the time of night, but I feel like there's a certain amount of emotional exhaustion around you. And so,
yes.
And I think that you need to recharge batteries and mm-hmm. hang out with friends, and that this is something that I think you might think of it later, like in the spring or later in the year, that you might get back together again, but it's just not going to get any better.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I do need that time for myself and for my kids. Yeah, that sounds really good.
Okay. But it's a nice affirmative clap too. It's like, because I think you're both agreeing that it's like, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. don't fight that. Don't drag it out. And I think that you'll find that your level of stress kind of also dissipates as well.
That would be great. Yeah.
Well, I think you deserve that. So that, and I think that you've got, with the kids, I think that you have a nice full life and there's a lot of interesting things happening already. So there's no need for you to... you don't need this level of drama. I think that you'll find that you'll also attract someone that's very different, because I'm coming up with the word drama. I'm hearing drama. So mm-hmm. I don't think the drama is really something that is needed right now. In fact, I would avoid the next very dramatic man that decides to drop himself into your life.
Okay, absolutely. I don't want the drama either. Yeah.
No, you don't need that. You need someone that's a lot more... I hate to say it, but a practical person is going to be someone that's going to probably make you laugh a little more.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about it a little more, you can reach me at mark@positivelypsychic.com.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the call in. It's very brave of you to call, and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
All right, Marie. You have a nice night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I appreciate the call, and it's very kind of her. In any case, for a lot of people listening tonight, Halloween is a big, fun time of the year, a lot of parties, a lot of exciting things. I would just ask everyone that if you're going into a place you're not sure about the energy, say a prayer, protect yourself, And make sure that you're keeping your energy in a very bright, positive place. I know that sounds very Mary Poppins-ish. Well, I am the positively psychic medium. But what I would tell you is that just watch yourself, and that don't let. And also, too, today there's so many things happening in you know, our economy. People are stressed out in so many ways. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself. All right. I mean, that's just a little self-assessment once in a while can go a long way. All right. Well, again, we've got some great guests next week, and I really do appreciate everyone listening with us tonight. Thank you again for Marie for calling, and for many of our steady friends. I appreciate your coming here to be with us. I mean, we wouldn't have anything without all of you. It just wouldn't be the same. So,
tell everybody where we're
going to
be Halloween.
We're going to be, we're actually going to be going out with some of our friends from APRA Paranormal. And so we're going to be going to a place out here in the valley, where it's in San Fernando. What is the name of that mission? All of us, I guess.
San Fernando Mission.
No, it's not the San Fernando Mission. It's another place next to it. But we'll announce that next week, and we'll tell you more about it then. But again, next week, Krista Schwimmer and Michael Wambach, Mary Griffin, the Witches of Hollywood.
The Witches of Hollywood.
The Witches of Hollywood. So. Thank you so much for everyone listening tonight.
And thank you to Marley and Patrick.
And stay tuned for Night Stalker Radio. And if you do want a reading, like to learn more, please call Mark at PositivelyPsychic.com. So thank you one and all. Have a wonderful evening. Have a Positively Psychic week. And until next week, we'll see you then.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
This has been a Para-X production, sponsored by CBS Radio. We'll see you next week on Positively Psychic. This is Barbara Nelson from Positively Psychic. We would like to thank all of our listeners from all over the world for tuning in every week on the Para-X Radio Network to Positively Psychic Radio, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of you. Each week, we look forward to bringing you cutting-edge web radio with leading experts in the paranormal field, along with free readings from psychic medium Mark Christopher Nelson. If you would prefer a private reading with Mark, you may schedule one at his website, www.positivelypsychic.com, or request a reading via email at mark@positivelypsychic.com. We hope you enjoy listening and downloading our podcast as well at positivelypsychic.podomatic.com. Keep listening, and we'll keep bringing you great paranormal talk radio on Para-X with the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. So we'll see you here next time on Positively Psychic Radio.